There are legends, and there is Kurt Russell. Welcome to the Awesome Village.
There are also kings.
Yes. True. My name is Greg. Joining me is...
Ryan.
John.
And I'm Glenn.
You're in for a treat tonight, fellas, and folks and lords and ladies and everyone of the realm, because we're going to talk about Kurt Russell. And if you don't like Kurt Russell, then why are you listening to this show?
Yeah, his birthday just passed. So.
Kurt Vogel Russell.
How old is he?
He was born in March 17th, 1951, so that would...
That's math. That's 70-something years.
73.
Jesus Christ. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Kurt Russell.
73 years old. Fuck.
Yep. Julia Russell and Bing Russell are his parents.
Denzel Washington, too, is like 68 or 69.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
People age.
I guess.
Matt, the last Equalizer movie, I don't know how an almost 70-year-old man did that.
Yeah.
Well, what was it during the Super Bowl when, was it Ludacris went out there and he looked exactly the same as he did 20 years ago?
Well, that's because of the Illuminati, apparently.
All right, yeah.
Did you hear about that shit?
I did not.
Cat Williams, in his appearance on the Shannon Sharp podcast, made some kind of reference to the fact that...
I did hear that his introduction on that podcast was 70 minutes long.
Oh, it's something to behold. It's a good 2.5-hour podcast episode, but if you get a chance to listen to some of it, it's pretty hilarious. But he talks about apparently he went to some party and he was given like a choice to do some stuff and he chose not to. And apparently one of the rewards were you were going to be in these movies that were going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. And turns out that person was Ludacris and the film franchise was Fast and the Furious.
So he made a deal with the devil.
Apparently.
The things I'm going to do for these movies.
And a lot of people were saying that the John Cena incident at the Oscars was part of his initiation into, like, his humiliation initiation ceremony for the Illuminati or whatever.
I mean, have you seen some of John Cena's early movies? I think that was humiliating.
He's a goddamn wrestler. He's half naked. He's half naked half his career. I don't understand.
By the way, I was driving the other day, and I had this thought that crossed my head, and I was like, I've got to talk to Ryan and unburden myself with this, because... For years, I've been messing with you about wrestling, and I got to tell you, I was listening to John Cena on Howard Stern when he did his interview recently, and we talk about Batista, have The Rock, whatever. And while wrestling is not for me, it has given us the gift of many talented performers. And so, Ryan, I am from here on out never making fun of wrestling to you again.
I mean,
except for maybe it turnbuckles and shit.
Takes some acting.
No, it does. You've made a believer out of me, man.
I mean, some of them are not as good as others, but I mean, Hulk Hogan was not a good actor, but
Thunderlips.
A lot of them work on their craft.
Gremlins in this theater.
You grimsters.
And there's tour de force acting like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Man, his range.
Hey, I tell you one thing. I mean, he may have only been in that movie for 5 minutes, but that one enduring scene that people still talk about today.
Bonesaw is ready.
Which is like, but why did he talk like that at all times?
That's just how he talked.
The gift that Macho Man gave to the world was that clip that you can find where he continuously pulls out little the half and halves. Yes. I'm the cream of the crop. It's like, where are they all coming from? How did one find a fanny pack that contains that many non-damaged?
There's some hilarious stories. He was crazy. Like, there was a storyline in wrestling where his Miss Elizabeth was supposed to, like, Ric Flair had these naked pictures of her that he was going to unveil, like, these very lewd pictures to the public. So when it finally came time to reveal them, like, they had taken these pictures of her in these scantily clad lingerie or whatever. Well, wasn't anything too crazy. But when Randy Savage saw it, he's like, nope, not going to happen. You're not going to show her like that on TV. And the producer's like, well, we've been talking about this storyline for months. How are we going to do this now? He's like, not my problem, but you're not showing that, brother. And he totally like screwed the whole storyline up and they never showed the pictures.
They were afraid of the cream.
That's right.
Oh, man. So, Kurt Russell, happy birthday, first of all.
Happy birthday, Kurt Russell.
We hope you have had a wonderful one. You know, tell Goldie we said hi.
They're not technically married, right?
No,
there's
together.
No paperwork. They're just.
That's crazy.
Long-standing commitment, you know.
But
kudos to them.
Been acting since he was a child.
Yeah, and so we're gonna do some things that we normally do for when we celebrate actors, and also some things we don't do.
And I mentioned the fact that I don't think any of y'all know that when Walt Disney died, his dying words were Kurt Russell.
I mean, if somebody's going to pop into your mind right before you die, who better?
That might very well be my dying line. I don't know.
Rose Butter Kurt Russell. Yeah. Those are the only two options.
There's the title right there.
Rose Butter Kurt Russell. We have it now.
I think I'd go with Kurt Russell.
Over Rose.
Fuck that sled.
Spoiler.
So
we're going to go through, we're going to do a win-loss record. So who would like to explain how we do win-loss records for people that may just be discovering our this?
Yes, we you know, thank you, first of all, for, you know, we've got a nice little response. People are actually, you know, coming over to us from the TikToks or other social medias, and we appreciate that. So to anyone joining us new, win-loss records work as follows. We go through a film career of an individual, and we talk about whether or not the movie we think it was a win, a loss, or just kind of a tie. Now, the rules of the game are as follows. We don't count anything we haven't seen because we can't accurately judge it. So that can skew some of the data, but we've had previous, you know, people in win-loss records like Nicolas Cage.
Sure. Who had some good win-loss? We
did Harrison Ford, didn't we?
Yeah, remember we did the Planet Hollywood 3? We did Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and Bruce Willis.
And
we did a good one on Anne Hathaway, too, remember?
Speaking of Bruce's, so sorry we haven't done Famke Janssen yet.
Oh.
So I have the list. We've done Matthew McConaughey, Gary Oldman, Jeff Bridges, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Willis, Anne Hathaway, Pauly Shore, who only had 7 films, Brad Pitt, 100%, Will Smith, Charlize Theron, Nicolas Cage, Kevin Bacon, Ben Stiller, Sandra Bullock, and our last one was Mr. Michael Douglas. Hmm.
Speaking of Michael Douglas, you got that new Ben Franklin thing?
I saw a picture of him as Ben Franklin.
I saw the trailer, and he's just Michael Douglas. You know how, like, Anthony Hopkins is just Anthony Hopkins? It's just like, I am Benjamin Franklin.
He looks like if Michael Douglas dressed up like Benjamin Franklin.
Pretty much.
Halloween, yeah.
But go on.
Yeah, so Kurt Russell's been acting since he was a child. Did anyone at this table see? I mean, I saw maybe 2 movies, because he did a lot of Disney movies when he was a youngster.
I didn't see any of his stuff as a kid.
Mm-mm. All right, so, and I'm not old enough to have seen these when they first came out, but growing up, I remember seeing, like, on the Disney Channel, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, Now You See and Now You Don't, and I think I saw The Barefoot Executive. I remember distinctively Now You See Him, Now You Don't quite a bit, where he was a young science student that invented an invisibility formula.
I've seen none of these pictures.
But, and then he did Super Dad with the Hogan's Heroes guy.
The sex addict Bob Crane.
That's right.
There you go.
I've seen these.
What was the name of that Bob Crane movie with Craig Kinnear?
Autofocus.
Check it out. Good film.
Yeah.
There's some good nudity in that.
Tangentially related to Kurt Russell, I guess, right? He was in a movie with Bob Crane. But so we're going to start in the, we're going to start in 1981. So y'all ready to go?
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Right. I like, you're about to point this out, but I like the 2 movies he did in 1981.
Yeah, he did 2 movies in 19. So they're very similar.
Very similar.
So which one we should do first, the rated G one or the rated R?
The rated R one. Do that. Let's one first. Them, all right. Or you can say what they both are. But all right,
so we'll start in 1981. He played a character named Snake Plissken in John Carpenter's Escape from New York.
It's a cult classic.
It's just a classic.
It is, yeah. But
who wants to talk about Escape from New York?
So basically the story of this film is
they try to escape from New York.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis narrates the opening, and
who plays the president?
Donald Pleasance.
Duke of New York, yay, number one.
So the
isn't it Isaac Hayes the Duke of New York?
He is the Duke. So the whole city of the Manhattan Island has been guarded off, and it's got, you know, barricades around it. It's now become the only prison in the United States, and the U.S. police force is watching it. And basically, if you do any kind of criminal act that the government deems, you know, bad, or even if it could just be trivial things, you get sent to New York and you do not come out. So the president's plane gets sort of hijacked, and
Air Force One
gets it crash lands into New York, and a bunch of the prisoners there have taken the president hostage, and they decide to talk to Snake Plissken because he's about to go in for the rest of his life, and they're like, "Look, if you can go in and get the president out, we'll pardon you." And that's the whole point of the movie. He's got to go in there and try to escape from New York.
But then they put a bomb in his neck to make sure that he doesn't just go in there and disappear. So, but anyway.
Classic film.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting like hole in that is that, you know, if he went in there and disappeared, they, you know.
Well, no, because they put a device that's going to explode into his neck, so he has to try to get out.
Well, no, but what I mean is, like, if he disappears, well, he's still in New York that he can't escape from, right? Like,
it was something where they need the president in a certain amount of time for some summit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's...
They don't really explain. They make it a point that he's got a time frame to get him out.
And this is kind of one of the first anti-hero movies, because Snake Plissken is not a nice dude.
No, not really.
But, I love this movie. It's a big W for me.
I would agree that it is a W.
It sucks because this movie doesn't suck. This movie's great and it's a big W for me too. But the first one I actually saw was Escape from Los Angeles.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. And then somebody was like, "Oh, you should watch the first one." I was like, "I don't know if I want to watch the first one." But
big
the first
W.
First one is totally worth it. Big W.
Yeah. So also in 1981,
similar film.
Yeah, very similar. He played Copper in The Fox and the Hound.
Oh, God.
Those are exactly the same film. Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in years, but I remember liking
Copper's
it a lot. So
yeah, Fox Hound's a W.
That's
like
a W,
it.
Yeah.
Like that movie. All right, so then next year, we go to 1982. He did one film where he played a character named MacReady in a remake called The Thing.
That movie is just criminally underrated.
Underrated? I think it's one of the few... perfect horror film.
I mean, considering it was not a big success when it was released, like
that's no Exorcist Believer, but
oh god, that's a great film.
Yeah, a bunch of like the last season of True Detective had some definite Thing vibes.
Yeah,
and there's lots of rumors about them making a like sequel like now with him and Keith David coming back. But
Thing vibes, I like that.
Yeah,
Thing vibes.
But no,
it's a W.
Thing's a W. Okay, anyone see Silkwood?
No.
What the fuck is Silkwood?
It's got that phony baloney Meryl Streep in it.
Oh, that explains why I
came out in 1983. How about Swing Shift?
Nope. Can't say as I have.
Okay. All right, well, let's just go to 1986, where he played Jack Burton in Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, that's a win.
So I actually
Big Trouble.
I didn't see this movie until a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, and it's actually quite a lot of fun.
Kim Cattrall, right?
Yeah.
This is another.
This movie's a blast.
I love this movie.
I mean, the whole it's almost like the trilogy with John Carpenter and Kurt Russell, Escape from New York, The Thing, and Big Trouble.
Yeah, it's a big W. This movie's a if you just want to have a good time, chill out.
Yes.
Okay.
Win.
So now we'll go to 1987. Where he played Dean Prophet in Overboard.
Oh, massive W.
This is a W.
This one, if it's on, I'm going to watch it.
Movie's hilarious.
Is this where him and Goldie met? Probably.
Yeah, probably so.
I don't know, but there is a remake of this movie, and I've not seen it, but fuck it.
Thing is with the remake, I initially was, I'm like, fuck that movie. But then when I saw the trailer, I realized it's not so much a remake, it's like... You know how when they do remakes in other countries, and it's like they make it like it's a Mexican soap opera kind of thing. So,
I don't know. I like the guy that is in it. But,
you know, like Anna Faris too.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, Dean Prophet. I mean, when was it? Goldie Hawn beheads that scarecrow with a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, he did a movie called Tequila Sunrise.
I don't believe I've seen Tequila Sunrise.
I didn't see that.
Good.
I didn't really
seen
like
it.
I saw it too.
He plays Nick Fresca.
Who else is in that? It's somebody else famous.
Is it Mel Gibson?
Yeah, it's very boring.
It's Mel Gibson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah,
and Raul Julia.
It's not. It's very boring.
Raul Julia.
Yeah.
Oh man,
yeah, that one's a loss for me.
Yeah, it's a loss.
I didn't care for that one.
All right. After that, he did a movie called Winter People.
Never heard of it.
I've heard of Wicker People.
He's got a cool character named Waylon Jackson.
It's with Kelly McGillis and Lloyd Bridges, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, so then we'll go to 1989, where he played a character named Cash, half of the title, Tango and Cash.
I didn't like this movie.
I enjoyed this movie.
I love this movie.
You talk about guilty pleasures.
Yes,
I like this movie.
This should have been on our episode.
This one, I will admit.
It's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
But it's so much fun.
It's fun.
I didn't like it, but I mean, I got no problem. Y'all marking it a victory.
Is Jack Palance the villain in that?
I don't recall. Let's find out together.
So they're like buddy cops.
Yeah, it's Jack Bauer and Terry Hatcher.
Mm-hmm. I remember Terry Hatcher in this, yeah.
And for those who don't know, Tango is Sylvester Stallone.
So I'm saying win, Greg. I'm saying win. You're saying loss, Ryan?
I say loss.
I'm going to go win. All right. Cool. I mean, and I will admit that it's a piece of shit, but
no, it's not a good movie. Now. It's a lot of fun.
All right.
A lot of those 80s movies, though, are like that.
I mean, yeah, they were, because they were, they made
it's the 80s, man. It's the Cosby decade.
Dog.
It's Hollywood.
Everybody gay a little.
So now we're going to go to the 90s. We're leaving the 80s. 1991, he played Stephen McCaffrey in Backdraft.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Really good movie.
That's probably in my top five Kurt Russell movies.
The story of the film is not great. Like, the execution of it, but like...
It's Billy Baldwin.
You question Ron Howard?
The script is not strong, but the performances in the movie itself are fantastic.
And I think this was kind of the first big movie to showcase firefighters.
Yeah, which is another reason why I love it.
And I kind of remember a really good scene with Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Oh, with Shadow?
Yeah.
Really, what would you do with the whole world? Burn it all. he's not getting out.
I remember Jason Gedrick melted in it.
A really good movie that features firefighters is The Departed.
You can also apparently, Billy Baldwin bangs Jennifer Jason Leigh on top of a fire truck in that movie.
You're right.
That's the kind of shit that sticks with me.
Yeah, and don't they pull the hose down when they get there and it's got like a bra attached to it?
Yes.
Because for some reason when they undress, they tied the bra.
They tied it to the hose.
Oh, that Billy Baldwin.
Speaking of him, did you hear the crazy shit about him and Sharon Stone? Like, they're feuding?
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently Sharon Stone came out and said that the director of Sliver told her
Sliver.
That she would get a better performance if she slept with Billy Baldwin.
Performance?
And Billy Baldwin's like, that shit is not true, because like, she tried to come on to him and he like never slept with her ever, and it's like the two of them are going at each other like on social media.
No, I think
she's no Sharon Stone.
I'm just glad we're currently living in 2023 and Billy Baldwin and Sharon Stone are feuding.
2020, you went back in time.
2024, sorry.
Yeah. Well, Glenn and I have been talking the other day. It's like we're in 2024 and we're bringing back Matthew Lillard.
Bring him back.
We've been quoting his character from Scream a lot.
And mostly it's, she's no Sharon Stone.
Yeah. Live her alone.
Live her alone. All right, so we're going to live her Backdraft alone. And we're going to go to 1992, where he played Michael Carr in Unlawful Entry.
I love this movie.
That's a good movie.
I haven't seen this.
It's really good.
It's super creepy. Yeah, it's really creepy. There's some good nudity in it. So it's worth checking out for that.
Stowe.
Yeah,
on a scale of
So is it Schindler's List?
It's not Schindler. It's definitely more closer to Wild Things. It's not nearly. If Wild Things is the 10, this is in like a 7-ish.
We need to come up with rankings for each.
Yeah, what's in the middle between Wild Things and?
I'll come up with an actual scale. I'll assign a film a number.
You got so.
Oh, that's high up there.
Audience, you've had this promise. We might have to debut this on the ticket.
Yeah, I'll come up with the top ten like the of scales. I don't know,
we'll figure this out. Not top ten. Species. I mean, they gotta get progressively worse.
Yeah, the scales of this.
So, scales would be Species, because she had scales.
She did have scales.
All right. So, also in 1992, he played a character named Captain Ron in Captain Ron.
All right, I saw the trailer for this.
Oh, I saw it when I was a kid.
And it made me not want to see it.
It's not good.
It's him and Martin Short. I remember there's kind of a joke about Pirates of the Caribbean in it.
It seems like it wants to be What About Bob, but...
And he's got his Escape from New York hair.
And I think it kind of came out around the same time as What About Bob.
Yeah, it's a loss for me.
It's a loss. All right, so... 1993, he came back with quite an epic movie with an epic cast, where he played Wyatt Earp in Tombstone.
One of the greatest westerns ever made.
Is there a better mustache in film? Maybe topped by him. We'll get to that mustache.
If this didn't get a win, I don't think that I could bear.
I was going to say, the mustache that might be better, it might just be Sam Elliott's mustache in that same movie.
Well, no,
just his normal fucking mustache.
There's a better Kurt Russell mustache on this list. We'll get to it later. But
alright.
So, any
I mean, that movie's it's fantastic.
Damn, it's near a perfect western. Yeah. I mean,
and it comes on all the time on AMC. Like my wife kind of makes fun of how often it's on AMC, and I feel like I put it on every time I see that it's on.
And it's got John's favorite Powers Booth line.
Well, bye.
Okay. So, all right. So then we go to 1994, where he was featured in a pretty popular film. And one thing that we did not mention, that Kurt Russell kind of has a thing with Elvis, where we didn't mention, but in one of his first roles, he played Elvis Presley on a TV.
It was a TV movie.
He did a phenomenal job. I've never seen it.
And then in 1994, a little movie called Forrest Gump came, and he played Elvis in that. Out of focus.
Yeah, you couldn't see it was him.
Yeah, the thing is, this movie's a win, but I don't know.
I don't think we can grade it.
I don't think I can grade it for him.
I just wanted to mention that he played Elvis.
I think, you know, for a future episode that we're going to talk about Easter eggs, that'd be a good Easter egg.
That would be a good Easter egg.
That he played Elvis in Forrest Gump.
See what you did there. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, but in 1994, his main film, he played Colonel Jack O'Neill in Stargate, which I love.
I love this movie.
That was a good movie.
Classic sci-fi.
I saw it at the Dollar Show.
This was when I started working at our local movie theater that we're all hooked up at and hanging out. That was the first big movie that came out, and I remember the crowds. I was stunned because I was like, I couldn't believe how busy that movie was, and people came out of the woodwork to see that.
Remember James Spader, like
the Chicken Man.
And was there some sort of
there's a Stargate in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Diamond Hansu was a young Diamond Hansu. That's awesome.
Stargate was in his nostril.
So let me ask you something about Stargate.
Let me give you an
answer. They got all these markings on the fucking Stargate, mm-hmm. and they have to get James Spader to show up and show them which marking you got to use. Why didn't they just try all of them?
I don't know. Maybe it would lock them out after a certain number of attempts.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's something that should have been explained, because it's like
you go into recovery.
Well, it's not like he created the market. It's right there. You just didn't see it. You just try them all till you get it right.
I mean, you wouldn't get the blue screen of death and get stuck there.
Yeah, I guess so.
But is Stargate a win?
Yeah.
Man, it's big W. Big W.
All right. Took 1995 off. 1996, he had two films. Y'all want to do the good one first, or the maybe not so good one first?
I want to see which one you think is the good one, which is the bad.
All right. Well, let's start with he played David Grant in Executive Decision.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's a good movie.
I fucking love that movie.
And I was not expecting it to be great, because I thought it was just going to be a typical Steven Seagal movie. You get in, and
it certainly
surprise,
is.
Surprise. Steven Seagal dies in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
We're not going to make it.
I'll never forget when I saw that in the theater, when the Seagal scene happens. Somebody in the audience is like, he's got to be hanging on to the plane wing or something.
The entire time.
He can't really be gone.
And that movie, not only was it just an awesome Kurt Russell movie, it somehow like made John Leguizamo a really believable action hero.
I loved how the movie...
Halle Berry was in it, right?
Yeah.
The movie built up the tension before they finally had their big gun battle on the plane in the end, and it was like it heightened the intensity when it finally happened.
The guy that he played Poirot for like the longest time, and that's the guy that's like the main villain. He was really good in it.
He was.
Oh, yeah, he was the villain in Harry and the Hendersons.
He was. David Suchet is his name.
He was.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyway, I'm giving that a win.
That's a W.
I'll give you. We'll talk about Harry and the Hendersons when we do our Bigfoot episode. But also in 1996, he reprised his role of Snake Plissken in Escape from L.A. All
right.
I think, as evidenced by John's conversation earlier,
I'm giving that a loss.
So I'm actually, I didn't even realize this, but I'm on the same. I'm with John. I did not see Escape from New York before I saw Escape from L.A. When I first read about Escape from L.A. coming out in Entertainment Weekly, they were like, this is going to be like a possible franchise that they're starting. I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. So I watched the movie. I'm like, why would they make this into a franchise? This is fucking awful. So then I went back and watched Escape from New York, and I was like, fuck, this movie's amazing. This
but
first
it's
one
weird
was shit.
It's like shit, but I'm wondering if it was almost on purpose, because John Carpenter, it was almost like he was doing a spoof.
Like a parody remake. It wasn't really...
Because like the Bruce Campbell scene where he was like the... What was it, the Surgeon General of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, and everything, like... It
was very campy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bad version of Home Alone 2.
There you go.
Where it's like a sequel, but almost the exact same movie.
I'm going to tell you.
There's a good version of Home Alone
2. There's a lot of podcasts around. I don't know if anyone's ever linked Escape from L.A. with Home Alone 2.
We are trendsetters and trailblazers here at the Awesome Village, and typically it comes from a... Man who dresses like a pistachio once.
You're not wearing it now.
I said once.
He's not dressed like his pistachio.
I love that shirt, by the way. So fuck.
I think it's a great shirt.
Well, you just quoted this.
It's wonderful. Some might say
it's a comfortable shirt.
All right, so Escape from L.A. It's going to be an L, right?
Huge L.
I don't know. Like I said, it's weird. I almost feel like they did it on purpose.
And it doesn't even hold up. The visual effects look terrible.
Oh, they're bad. And Pam Grier, remember she played a guy?
Here's Jackie Brown.
That's not on this list. So, 1997, he had kind of an under-the-radar kind of hit where he played a character named Jeff Taylor in Breakdown.
I love that movie.
That was a really good movie.
And I kind of forgot about it. But the first time
I saw that was in Vachetta's class.
You know one of the best things about Breakdown?
JT Walsh.
Yeah, there's lots of things. But that's one of the rare occasions, doesn't happen hardly anymore, where you watch the trailer for a movie, and when you went to go watch it, you had no idea what was really going on. Like, you had a sense of what the movie was about, but during the film, like, you don't know really what's happening.
You really don't. They don't. Like, you're right, they kind of don't make movies like this anymore.
No.
So I would give Breakdown a win.
Huge W. And very, you're right, very under the radar, and I think if people haven't seen it, go out of your way.
Written and directed by Jonathan Mostow.
J.T. Walsh was a great character.
Didn't he direct Terminator 3?
Yes, and U-571.
That's a good movie.
That is a good
go
movie.
Out of your way to find Breakdown.
Talk about underrated films, U-571.
I was very upset.
Blink your eyes and you miss John Bon Jovi's death.
Yeah. And Bill Paxton in the long run.
Go!
He was living on a prayer.
Oh, Lord. So now we're going to go to 1998.
You said Glord.
Glord.
Oh, Glord.
1998, he played Todd 3465 in Soldier.
So I've never actually seen this.
I've never seen this either.
Did you see it?
No.
I'm the only one that saw this movie.
It didn't really interest me. Like I've heard mixed things about it.
I will say Kurt Russell, he does something very interesting because it's almost a completely silent performance.
He has no lines, I heard.
I don't think he has any lines. And
I heard it's got like a cult following now.
It does, and it's in the Blade Runner universe. Like it's based
that
on,
actually makes me want to see it.
It's based off of one of Philip K. Dick's stories, because if you watch Blade Runner, they talk about the Rutger Hauer character being assigned to one of these planets, and that's where this takes place. And Kurt Russell plays a soldier that was groomed from birth, and they come out with these soldiers that are like kind of genetically bred to be so, and you know, it's kind of, there's this big battle between him and the new soldiers, and it's a lot. I would give it a win. I like Soldier. He stared down a flaming tank.
I do remember that in the trailer.
As one does.
Yeah. So,
that's a W.
Yeah. After this, he played himself in an episode of WCW Monday Nitro. And everyone looked at Ryan.
It's entirely possible. I don't really
remember. What other movies came out around that time? Because I'm just curious.
Probably Soldier.
This was 2000, so this was 2 years after Soldier, and the next one was 2001. So.
Did it for the shits and gigs.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
So 2001, we talked about this movie kind of recently, where he played a character named Michael Zane in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Big, giant fucking W with flaming wings dripping blood.
Jesus.
That's graphic.
Damn right.
I am going to give it a W, but again, this is one of those
movies.
It's
not a good
movie. Not going to
it's
recommend it to
wonderful.
Just everyone. Just, you got to know what you're getting into when you go to start this movie.
He gave her a snicker.
Courtney Cox. Howie Long. But
Howie Long.
And this is another tradition with Kurt Russell being associated with Elvis in some strange way. But yeah, great movie.
Wasn't John Lovitz in that movie?
Yep.
And he ended up with a bunch of arrows in him, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. Yeah.
Fuck the gold. all right, so let's see. After this, we've got also in 2001. So he had two movies. He played a character probably not a lot of people associate with this film, but I thought he was solid in it. He played McCabe in Vanilla Sky.
Oh
yeah,
that's a weird fucking movie.
I really like that
movie. I like
that
movie a lot.
And I don't love
savaged
it.
Savaged by critics, but I really
I thought it was okay. I didn't love it, but I thought it was an okay movie. He was really good in it. Tom Cruise's lawyer in that movie?
Doctor, like his psychiatrist.
Right. But I like Vanilla Sky.
I like
that. I will give you that it's very strange.
Yeah.
Again, one of those movies you can't just recommend this to everyone.
All right, yeah, because I think me and Sandra the other day, we were talking about the worst movies we'd ever seen, and that's what she said. Hers was Vanilla Sky.
I can understand that.
Worst
like,
movie you've ever seen? And she said, and I will give her this, she's like, if you remember how they promoted it, they were promoting it to be like Fatal Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the movie was.
No, that's like the first 30 minutes of it.
But that was all the trailers.
Yeah.
Was the stuff with Cameron Diaz. The Pleasure of Sophia.
that's a big win though for me.
Yeah, I'm
going to give it a win.
All right. So, did anyone see Interstate 60?
No.
Okay, nope. We'll skip over that. 2002, he played Eldon Perry in Dark Blue.
I saw that.
I've never seen it.
I haven't seen that.
It's good.
I remember.
Tim and
Scott Speedman.
Yeah, and Ving Rhames.
Yeah. It was good. He was good in it. I mean, it's not like the best thing I've ever seen. I mean, it was good. I'd give it. Am I the only one that saw it?
I saw it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd give it a win.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a Dirty Cop movie. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Dirty Cop.
No.
All right. So then we got 2004. He played Herb Brooks in Miracle.
Love that movie. Mm-hmm. Huge W.
I've actually never seen that. And last Winter Olympics came out, I was like, I've got to watch the movie, and I bought it, and I just still never watched it.
It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to film. When I was first getting into hockey, I think it might have been Dendy. They were like, I'm like, I've never seen Miracle. I'm like, you've never seen a Miracle on Ice? And like, if that's what it was called.
It's a good hockey movie. I'd put it maybe right under Mystery Alaska.
Mystery Alaska is an excellent hockey film. Movie.
What about Mighty Ducks 3? Yeah.
But Miracle's a win.
I would say it's a win as well.
Big win.
Yep.
All right. After that, he had two films that came out in 2005. First one, he played the Commander in Sky High.
Big Giant W.
More people. I wish more people would have seen this
film. It's such a joy.
It's a wonderful, like, kids' family movie.
Kids' superhero movie.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, when Disney Plus started, like, adapting some of their old things in the TV shows, they should totally do a Sky High.
Absolutely.
Like, just about the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, think of Cross the Incredibles with the Avengers.
Was it Dave Foley? Whatever it is you're teaching them, keep teaching them it.
Yes.
Because it was Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston, right?
Yeah.
Commander and Jetstream.
Some reason, I always said the Commander in Starscream, but that's something else.
That'd be a different film. All right, also in 2005, he played Ben Crane in a horse movie called Dreamer with Dakota Fanning.
I do not recall seeing this.
Chris Christopherson was also.
Fucking A.
I never saw it.
Is a little woman credited?
That's an Easter egg.
So none of us have seen that one?
No one saw Dreamer. Right. I remember when it came out, I just never saw it. Okay, 2006, another film we talked about recently. He played Robert Ramsey in Poseidon.
I almost feel embarrassed to say this is a W, but I mean, I can't get enough of this movie. Like, it's so terrible, but it's so much. I can't stop watching it whenever it's on.
I mean, I guess for the same reason I said Tango and Cash is a win, it's a win. It's fun. It's so bad, but it's so
because
it's
it
fun.
Doesn't take itself seriously.
It does not.
No.
Not at all.
I'm only going to give it a W. Because he gives, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest drowning performance I've ever seen. I really thought Kurt Russell might have died filming this movie.
Well, that
that's why it wasn't Lucky Larry.
Yeah, his reaction with Lucky Larry, like, come on, hit me. And they, him and...
Hey, Jeff, man.
They just started laughing. He's like, hey, man, go ahead.
Assholes. All right, both of you.
Is that a win?
Yeah.
Who's shooting at us? It's a win. All right, so that was 2006. Now we're going to 2007, where... He played a character named Stuntman Mike.
Oh, win.
The half of them. Do y'all want to go with Grindhouse or just Death Proof?
It's just Death Proof.
All right, he played Stuntman Mike in Death Proof in the double feature.
That's a win.
It's a win.
Win.
Yeah.
Again, not a movie, I think, for everybody. But
oh, yeah, definitely not.
But and I will say this, he's not in it as much as I would have liked because it focuses on the girls a lot,
but
especially
the
ones in the beginning.
But when he is in it,
it's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
His famous nachos eating scene at the bar.
He makes his nachos look so good. And was it
a nacho grande platter.
That's right. Chartreuse.
Is that a tasty beverage or is that a tasty beverage?
The drink's so good they named a color after it.
So, all right. So after we go to 20... He took a little break after this because we go to 2011. There's a movie called Touchback. Anyone see Touchback?
No.
Nope.
No. How about The Art of the Steal?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so we're going to jump all the way to 2015 now. So
wow.
He took quite a break.
8 years.
He played Mr. Nobody in Furious 7 of the Fast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot he was in that too.
Yeah.
That was a win.
I forgot about the
Furious franchise existence. Was still holding on a little bit at this time.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
7 was around when it started to lose itself.
Sort of turned into cartoon.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of turned into cartoon a little before.
Yeah.
It peaked at Fast Five when The Rock showed up. But 7, it was still okay.
Is 6 the one where he flexes off the cast?
No, I don't.
That was that this one?
It might have been 7. I'm telling 7 is when it started to go all crazy.
And then he just takes the minigun off the helicopter and just walks around holding it, shooting it.
Is this when he kicks the torpedo?
No, that was 8. Yeah.
That could be a new term for like...
kick jump, the torpedo, jump the shark.
Yeah, kick the torpedo. All
right.
Well, jump the shark's for TV, so kicking the torpedo could be for film.
The torpedo for film. There you go. All right, 2015, he had 2 films, both westerns. First one, I saw this, and I'm not sure if anyone else did. Anyone see him play Sheriff Hunt in Bone Tomahawk?
I've heard very good things about this movie, but I've never seen it.
You talk about ones that you can't really recommend to everyone. This one would be on top of the list because they couldn't. They released it not rated because they couldn't give it a rating.
Because of gore in it?
Yeah, because it's about cannibals.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
I guess I would give it a win, because they don't make movies like this anymore, but it's a hard one to watch. It's very gory. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even though it's just you, I mean, you could say that it's a tie. But, I mean, it's up to you. Would you call it a win?
Yeah, because I think they knew what they were making, so I would give it a win. All right, and also in 2015, he played John the Hangman Ruth in The Hateful Eight, which I think might be the mustache that made
This is a win.
That's a win for me, too.
It's a win, but if you have a chance, if you haven't seen The Hateful Eight, go out of your way to find the director's cut.
And there's a really hilarious story about him destroying an antique guitar.
Yeah, another Easter egg, because apparently Jennifer Jason Leigh's facial reaction when he does it is genuine, because he didn't know it was the real guitar he was destroying.
Yeah, they were supposed to give him like a prop one to smash, and there was some guitar, and it was like hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
It come from some museum.
He just bashed
at the toothpicks. that was The Hateful Eight. So let's go to 2016. He played Jimmy Harrell in Deepwater Horizon.
That's a big W.
I never saw that one.
It's very good.
I liked it a lot.
It's solid. I lean on the win side for it.
It's a typical Peter Berg movie.
Yeah. I agree. Like, so the ones he's done.
Lone Survivor, the Boston Marathon.
The Great White Hype.
The Kingdom is my favorite Peter Berg movie.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, that's really a good movie. Jamie Foxx.
Lone Survivor would be his best. They just changed the title of it and ruined the movie.
I will say, like, Deepwater Horizon did a very good job of explaining exactly what happened.
Exactly. And it's not too dark. Like, I thought it was going to be really sad. I mean, it is a little sad, but it's very interesting what happened.
Yeah. So... All right, 2017, he reprised his role of Mr. Nobody in The Fate of the Furious.
Real quick, though, you remember what happened to Mr. Jimmy in Deepwater Horizon when the well explodes?
He's in the shower?
He's naked in the shower when the shower explodes on him. It's quite... I laugh.
Doesn't it, like, blind him or something?
Yeah, he's blind. He's walking down the hallway completely naked.
And he puts on some, like, firefighter's suit.
Yeah. It's just like, of all the places you could be when an oil well explodes, that might have been the worst possible spot to be
naked in the shower.
Other than a spot where, you know, you died, but
other than that,
second worst,
right next to the explosion.
Yeah.
So we go to Fate and the Furious, where he reprises the role of Mr. Nobody.
You said that the other movies where it started to go downhill. It's now firmly going down, and I'm gonna.
He wasn't in this one very much.
This is the one with Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, he's not in it very much for some reason. But
this wasn't a very good movie, though.
I mean, this is when it started to fall apart.
Wasn't this the highest grossing one, though?
Yeah, this is when it went really crazy, and it was like... This might have been the one... This is the one where they drove through buildings? No, that was earlier.
Did they go to space in this one?
No, I don't think... I can't remember anymore, because they all sort of meshed together towards the end of the franchise.
This is the one
end of the franchise. It's not even over yet.
That's right. I never saw this one, so...
I give this one an L.
I give this one an L.
L.
L. All right. Also in 2017, he played a character named Ego the Living Planet in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I didn't love Volume 2, but...
Have you watched it recently?
No.
It holds up pretty good.
Ryan doesn't care for most things.
That's not true.
I really like when he breaks down the song Brandy. You're a fine girl.
And we get de-aged Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, the ending of Kurt Russell.
With feathered hair.
Glorious hair. So I'd give Ego a win.
Yeah.
All right.
The year after,
stroke that ego.
2018, he played a character by the name of Santa Claus in the Christmas
Huge
Chronicles.
W.
Still haven't seen this.
As far as I'm concerned, it's the excellent. Best Santa Claus. He was hilarious.
That random musical scene in the jail.
Yeah. Where he kind of pretty much plays Elvis. In the, yeah.
So
it's a very good family film.
I agree. And we watch this one every Christmas. Big one. So the thing you were saying, the Hateful Eight extended version came out in 2019.
Okay.
They changed the Hateful Eight into a television series. All right. Anyone see Crypto?
Is that an animated?
No.
Oh.
It's a movie about cryptocurrency or something.
No, never saw it.
I did not, no.
Oh.
You're thinking of the one with The Rock where he was Superman's dog whose name is Crypto, but what it's called
Super Pets?
Super Pets.
Oh, yeah. It stars Luke Hemsworth.
Well, we know it's not good.
Then, yeah.
It's Luke's better than...
Luke's okay.
Oh,
Luke's
no, yeah. I'm thinking of the other one.
Yeah. You're thinking of Liam. Yeah, Luke's not
bad. Luke is a good Hemsworth.
Yeah.
All right, 2019, you played Randy Miller in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
When?
He's not in it very much, but I thought he was really funny when he came out. The whole scene with
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, yeah.
I give that a win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? All right, and we're going to 2020, where he reprises his role as Santa Claus in The Christmas Chronicles Part 2.
Not as good as the first one, but still very good.
Yeah, I 100% agree with what you just said.
Ryan is correct.
It happens every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so 2021, he again reprises his role of Mr. Nobody in F9, The Fast Saga.
Wait, he was back in the last... Oh, God.
F9.
Did you see that one, I guess?
No.
I did not see that one either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. I guess we won't grade it since we haven't seen it, but okay. I'm sure it sucks. I'm sure
he'll lose.
You will lose. And then the last thing he's credited as... Well, he did what... He voiced Ego in a couple episodes of What If, but...
I don't know if
we really do animated. And the last thing he did was he played the older version of Lee Shaw in Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
That's a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With him and his son playing the same part, which I thought he was fine in it, but it's TV, so I don't know if y'all want to count that.
All right, so what's the record?
Well, there's zero ties. He has four losses and 27 wins.
Jesus.
So a total of 31, 27.
That might be the best percentage we've had. I mean, I don't have the percentages. That
is 87%.
Yeah, that's very impressive. He's good. Thank God we did this to find out.
Yeah.
I know. We wouldn't have known otherwise. It would have been a mystery.
Have to ask Goldie.
Now, the next step in our Kurt Russell celebration.
That Kurt Russell is a talented son of a bitch.
He's a talented son of a bitch. But we now need to know a couple of things. And those things are... So we're going to do a thing that we've done before, but with a little bit of a twist. Normally we do a box set and we have the...
Eight is enough.
Ryan Shano rule of eight is enough.
And I think you'll find that that'll... We'll feel unfulfilled after this one.
Yeah, because we don't have 13.
That's... Unsatisfied.
All night, check. He beat me.
All right, don't start. Because once you start talking like him, you don't stop.
Man, his
Bjork
set. All right, so we're going to do a one vote each box set for Kurt Russell. So sort of like just a super pack. And we're going to, as a team, put one film that we want you guys to see.
The Village picks.
Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, who would like to throw out your nominee?
I'm going to go out with The Thing.
Of course you will.
That's a great movie.
You always throw out your thing.
Yeah, he pours a glass of whiskey into a chess computer because it's a cheating bitch. That's all you need to know.
Don't you ever make me play this motherfucker again.
He had an awesome hat in that.
He did.
Great movie. Speaking of movies where he had an awesome hat, Tombstone is what I would pick. It's a great ensemble, but I mean, it's such a good movie, and I feel like it's one of those ones that every time I see it's on, I put it on. I could have watched it the day before. And
I don't know many people who even have any complaints about it. Like, anyone who you show it to is like, oh, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't go around laughing like an idiot all day long in that movie.
He doesn't.
That's one of my favorite lines that he says in that film.
Wideherp's here.
That's not the quote from Tombstone. That's The Fugitive.
And isn't there, like, some rumors that, like, the director of Tombstone, like, just wasn't really doing a very good job, and Kurt Russell just kind of took over and directed it himself?
There was
basically
a lot of controversy when they were making that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer in the Val Things documentary gave an awesome story about that movie. Anyway, so my pick, I'm going to go a little lighter because we've had some heavy films in our box set. So I'm going to go with Overboard, where him and Goldie have a nice little rom-com.
Yeah, I feel like already with these three films, you're seeing his range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go with my pick and kind of go somewhere in betwixt. We're going to do an action comedy and Big Trouble in Little China, I think, is a necessity for people in this box set to sort of see, you know, Kurt have some fun. See a young Kim Cattrall before she went to the city.
Yeah.
Was that sex. Before or after the Mannequin?
I think that was before.
Before Mannequin.
Yeah, she needed to train in Big Trouble in Little China to deliver the role as the Mannequin. That's
yeah.
Okay. And so we promised a bonus episode that we picked as a group from the Village.
Bonus movie.
So, okay. It should be no surprise that we select this film because we talk about guilty pleasures, and I'm just not guilty about this pleasure at all. I think this is a phenomenal movie that I disagree with Ryan. Everyone should watch it, and if you don't like it, then you need to seek out some medical assistance because
Jesus.
Don't show it to your kids though, because it is ultra violent.
Yeah, totally. And that film is what, Glenn?
3,000 miles to Graceland.
That is definitely the wild card of this group.
Nice day.
Great.
You get to see Bokeem Woodbine as Elvis.
You do?
Yeah, and John's favorite, the human tornado,
Ice tea.
Ice tea, right? And one of the greatest sandwiches.
You want a jelly sandwich? Yeah.
Even tough guys got to eat. So
no peanut butter on that, it's just jelly.
Just jelly.
Jelly sandwich.
All right, so our box set for Kurt Russell celebrating his career is...
The Thing.
Tombstone.
Overboard.
Big Trouble in Little China.
And
3,000 miles to Graceland.
And as always, Kurt Russell, you have a standing invitation to come and hang out with us here.
So he gets Austin Velger status,
right? He's in. If we had a Mount Rushmore, I guess, we would put him as one of the faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Remember, look, you guys, you help us out a lot, as has been evidenced by recent traffic to the podcast. Keep on listening. Keep on suggesting things. The only thing we'll ever ask you costs you nothing. Just hit that subscribe button. Give us a little bit of a like. And as always, you can follow us on different social media accounts like...
You find us at The Austin Village Podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X. And for the time being, you can find us at awesome.village.pod on TikTok.
Ticket to Talk. This has been Greg.
Ryan.
John.
And I'm Glenn.
We will see you next week.